Hi everyone, MV Sage here, and I am a self-help book author, a certified Reiki healer, and a professional intuitive psychic. And today we have a really fabulous show, and I think you guys are really going to love it. We're actually going to be talking with M. Blatchy, who is working on, well, she works on a bunch of stuff. She's a songwriter, she is a book author, and a very creative person. We have a fabulous, fabulous interview coming up with her. But first, before we get to that, we are talking today about making dreams into reality. Now, I think that with a lot of people, I hope that most people have aspirations and goals, not just necessarily floating around through space, not really feeling that. I think it's so important to have things that you want to work toward and things that you feel are really going to enrich your life. And they don't have to be big things. I'm not saying everyone has to aspire to be rich or everyone needs to do all kinds of different things with that. But what I am saying is that it's wonderful to have dreams, and some people have big dreams. In fact, some people like M. Blatchy, she dreams big. She dreams big. And I think it can be very daunting when someone has such lofty ambitions. So we're going to talk a little about how to get your handle on the dreams that you actually have and how to get them to solidify in a way that is really gonna work for you. There are different methods to do that. Before we do that though, I'd like to just pause for a moment and tell you about our sponsor. This episode of Consult the Sage is sponsored by GrapeCat.com. GrapeCat is an online vegan retail store, and they carry all of your fashion needs from t-shirts to coats and wallets to duffel bags, plus everything in between. GrapeCat prides itself on carrying eco-friendly and U.S.-made merchandise. Thank you for dressing compassionately. GrapeCat.com. Check out their website. It's fabulous, and it's full of really useful and attractive things. And they even have wallets made out of non-leather material. I think they said that they use recycled bike tires for them, and they last a very long time. Check them out, GrapeCat.com. All right, so let's talk a little about our dreams and what it is that we want to do in our lives to try and make things happen. The very first tip that I can give you is getting those little things taken care of. I think sometimes we get caught up in the big picture, and so we forget to zoom in and focus. So the best thing to do is, if you're not really able to get some of those wee simple little details right, keep trying on those. The little details will eventually stack up, add up, and they can really help you chase that dream that you want. Now, here's another goal that, another tip of mine is to set goals, which everyone should be doing, but set ones that are realistic as well as unrealistic. The realistic ones would be things that you can handle, things you know you can handle. Setting deadlines for something that you know you can do in time. Unrealistic goals. That one is very interesting. I actually had a professor once who told me that there was a company who, interestingly enough, in a lot of retail companies, there's a 3% margin of error. And you're going to find 3% of the customers are very angry or very unhappy or had an experience where they could not really be adequately pleased. So 97% had been in the retail field the sort of gold standard for success. But there had been other companies who had decided to make a goal of 100% success. It sounds pretty strange if you think about it. How can anybody ever do something right 100% of the time? Well, the reason behind that goal, even though it is completely unrealistic and it's never, ever, ever going to happen. You know, nobody's perfect 100% of the time, but making a goal where you have to get as close as you can is actually very good for you because you can really sort of flex your muscles and figure out how to get farther along in that goal than you ever thought that you would. So unrealistic goals are actually an interesting thing, and it's something that you can definitely try for yourself. You may surprise yourself and do better than you think. Another one, working hard. That's a pretty obvious one. You're never going to get to where you want to go unless you work for it. And I think a problem that we often have with our dreams is that, again, they feel very easy. They seem very right for us. Yet digging in and doing the work can be tough. And a lot of folks underestimate how much work and effort it actually will take in order to be successful in those goals. So if you're not working hard to prepare for the success that you want, then it's going to be really hard for you to adjust your behavior when push comes to shove and when you really need to show what you're made of. You should also try to get other people to collaborate with you. Talk to other people who have similar goals. Speak with people who have already done what it is that you're looking to do, or someone who's closer in the process to where you wish that you could be. You're going to learn a lot, but you're also going to be able to hopefully support one another in where you are now in the process. You can also learn from people who have been there before, as I just said, but it's also great to know somebody and talk to somebody who you can really feel understands what you're trying to do. So definitely, definitely, definitely involve other people. Involve other people in your industry, in your family for support, people who have already traveled the path. A lot of times people want to help and they like to talk about things they've done well and mistakes they've made. Another very important part, I think, of making your dreams into reality is not to make excuses for yourself and be willing to fail. And when you fail, don't make excuses. Just pull yourself up and try again. But think about what it is that you have done and how you would like to do it differently. There's a big difference in making excuses, oh, I didn't do it because of this. And there's a difference between that and analyzing what went wrong so that you can do it better next time. Additionally, keep your positive attitude. When something bad happens, think about it. Are you going to be able to laugh at this thing in 5 or 10 or 20 years? You know, whenever I worked in online retail, I had a goal to come out with my own product line, and I have done that. But at this one particular time, I was trying to get the capital together, and someone had placed on my website, because I, as I said, I worked in online retail, someone had placed a very, very, very large order. And it was, interestingly enough, it was just about the amount that I needed in order to invest it in my own custom-made, mass-produced product. I was thrilled. I'd never had an order like this in my life. It was huge, and it was just the amount of money that I needed. So eagerly and happily, I went to my wholesaler. I needed to get more stock in order to fill the order. I wound up spending quite a bit doing that. And then I got all the stuff and I was just about to ship it off. It had just arrived, all of the stuff that it was in back order. I was just going to ship it the very next day when I got a phone call from a very sweet woman, and I still think she's like an angel, telling me that someone had used her credit card on my online store. And I knew right then She didn't even have to tell me her name. I knew right then it had to have been that great big order. Sure enough, it was. But you know, if she hadn't called me so that I could cancel the order and report the fraudulent charges, which I was not able to tell her anything about it because that was the law at the time. Maybe it still is. Anyway, if she hadn't done that, then I could not have called the credit card company and told them my side of the story and cooperate and help them because I had an IP address they could trace and really get to the root of the fraud and prosecute. Had she never called me, I would have sent out the product and I would have had to pay the money back, and it would have been months after I had already spent it and thought it was a legitimate order. There was no way it wasn't a miracle that she called me. It really helped me. It really, really did. And I did wind up later, eventually, a few months later, finally getting the money that I needed. And it didn't change much. It changed my timetable a little bit. But what it did change with me was the amount of faith and caring that I had for my customers. I know I'd always love my customers. I love the clients I work with now too, but it also changed the way that I viewed the people who I did business with. I began to realize even more that they deserve nothing but the best. And this woman was not technically my customer, but boy was she wonderful for doing that. She didn't have to call me and say anything to me. She was only calling to let me know about it and tell me that it was probably some kind of a fraudulent thing, and that was it. Anyway, this was a sad story. I'm sorry, I did ramble a little bit, but I'm kind of lost in memories, I guess, and I miss my store sometimes, but the point is, it's kind of a funny story when you think about it. It could have been really disastrous, but it's always an interesting story to tell, and I always love saying to people, oh, it's the time that I had this huge order with thousands of dollars in fraud, and I love telling the story where she, if she hadn't called me, it never would have gotten done. So I think that seeing the positive when you are hit with something negative and trying to find the funny side of it or the weird side of it or, you know, just the miracle, the little miracle of her calling me. You can do that. You can find little miracles in every bad situation. The miracle can just be the time passed and something new happened. But do that. Don't dwell on your failures. Don't make excuses for them. And don't ruminate in sadness. I don't think that's going to help anybody. So I think you really need to try hard to keep things positive. Experiences will be negative sometimes. Feel it, express it, and then let it go. Release it and move on. So anyway, those are some of my tips, but I'm now going to leave you with Em Lachi's fabulous interview. She was just so much fun to talk to. Let's listen in. Enjoy. Hello, everyone. This is MV Sage, and today I am interviewing Em Lachi. She is an author, she is a songwriter, she is a musical composer, and an all-around creative force that you need to get to know. And today we are going to be discussing all kinds of things, but most specifically, her new novel, The Ivory Staff, which will be in stores October 23rd. And Lachi, are you there?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. Great to have you.
Thank you.
And we're very, very pleased that you have chosen to make Consult the Sage part of your radio tour. We really appreciate that.
Yes, thank you for being part of my radio tour.
Well, you're very welcome. The pleasure is all ours. And I have to tell you, we have a lot of creative people who listen to the show, and a lot of authors, and I love talking shop with other writers, so
awesome. This
is
awesome.
Fantastic. And
right.
So before we even get into any questions, let's talk a little bit about your current project, The Ivory Staff, which is going to be released October 23rd. I would be very interested to find out what it is that readers will get in this book.
Well, The Ivory Staff is a fiction novel.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I guess saying fiction novel is redundant. It's a novel. And basically, I myself am in love with reading books where you completely escape into the book, get ensconced in a story and ensconced in the world, and walk out sort of learning something different about yourself and being able to look at different ways of thinking and analyze the world differently.
Oh, fabulous.
After leaving that world that you experience. And I think that that is what you could get out of The Ivory Staff. I present a completely different world,
mm-hmm.
and introduce some concepts that, you know, I would love readers to kind of delve in, think about, and walk out with, and being able to look at the world now with this different shade of glasses. That's pretty much the general gist of what I would hope readers would get from The Ivory Staff. Really, it's the notion of being placed into a completely different scenario than you're used to, and just allowing yourself to let this predicament wash over you and analyze things in the way that the characters have to analyze certain things.
Wow, that sounds really, really cerebral and heavy and engrossing. It really does. So when did you first discover that you wanted to write books of this type?
Writing has always been in my nature, from songwriting to story writing to poetry, mm-hmm. to things like that. When I was very young, I started writing poems and even little comics. I would draw little stick figures and have them thrown into random situations. So I've always had writing in my blood alongside with songwriting.
Wow.
And I've always been sort of a creative, otherworldly type of kid. Even in school growing up, I'd be in math class sort of daydreaming about characters that I make up in my head,
mm-hmm.
and having them hate math class, you know, things like that. So I've always sort of wanted to write in the fiction genre, mm-hmm. and create worlds and character build. And, you know, it's always been in my blood, and it is almost kind of a shame that it's finally taken me this long to sit down and say, you know what, I want to share these crazy worlds in my head with other people around me.
Oh, but we're so lucky that you have, even at this point, it sounds like you have a lot of stories inside of you, which is wonderful. And I have to ask, out of all of the characters that you've created, is there one in particular out of all of them that you feel you resonate with the most, or who is the most like you? Or do you feel that you put yourself in all of the characters?
I definitely put myself in all the characters, number one. I mean, I feel like the answer to the question is both A and B.
Okay.
But more B, because in order to write a really good book, I think, is to have really strong character development. And the plot line can be ridiculous. It doesn't even matter, as long as we fall in love with the characters. And the only way for an author to really allow a reader to fall in love with the characters is if the author truly understands the character and can truly convey to the reader, and the reader should also love the character. And the only way to do that is really step inside the suit, like step inside the body, I guess, of the character. And in order to do that, you allow yourself to flow into that character and flow out of that character. I mean,
I see.
I don't know where I read it. I think it was, I want to say Descartes, that said something along the lines of, you can only create things that you've already experienced.
Yes, you know, I've heard that.
There's no way you can make up a pink flying elephant. You can think of a pink flying elephant because you know the color pink, you know what flying means, and you know what an elephant is.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like you can't really create a character that you're 100% not connected with.
That makes sense, yeah.
But that being said, I do have some characters in the novel, The Ivory Staff, that I do really sort of can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the main characters is Pan, and another main character is Sob. They're the two main characters.
Uh-huh.
And Sob is sort of a kind of like a pushover in a sense, and like allows people to walk all over him, but at the same time has a lot of inner strength and compassion. So I really relate to that character because I feel like I allow people before me a lot of times.
Okay.
And not in a noble way, but just mm-hmm. All right, fine type of way. And Pam, the other character, I definitely feel I can relate to because he's got this whole, I'm doing the right thing.
Uh-huh.
Although he knows he's really not doing the right thing.
Oh, okay. So, we've all been there too, I think.
Right. Wow. Right.
Now, as a reader, who do you feel is important as a reader and a writer, let's say, to read, and who do you think has made you a better writer? I guess what I'm asking, let's do it in a less roundabout way, who influences you or who has influenced you as a writer early on or predominantly?
Well, the funny thing about that is, when you are writing a book,
mm-hmm.
especially a novel, you're mostly influenced by who you're reading at that time.
So interesting.
I do have a lot of authors that have influenced me, but there are certain authors that influenced me while I was writing the book that flowed into the book.
Wow.
So I would say that the authors I was reading at the time, and I personally read authors. I don't necessarily read a title. I'll read...
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll read like 7 books by an author at a time just to be like, I'm inhaling this author right now.
Cool.
So I was reading Jim Butcher.
Okay.
And he has a series called The Dresden Files. And
yes.
It's a crazy sort of paranormal meets urban fantasy series. Mm-hmm. And it's all over the place, but what I love about it is his first person is very, very strong.
Hmm.
So I gained a lot from his first person. And I also randomly was reading the Bible at that time because I got into an argument with someone.
Oh.
They made a reference and they said, see, you don't even know what I'm talking about. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to go read the whole Bible right now.
Wow.
So I was reading the Bible at that time, and I was also reading a lot of Heinlein.
Oh.
He's also obviously one of the kings of sci-fi.
Oh, yes.
And I love his character development. So that is
yes, me too. He really paints a picture.
In a strange land at that time, and who walks through walls. And
wow.
Very strong books.
Mm. That's fabulous. Yeah. That, wow. I'm going to say that my feeling is if you write if something that you're reading is influencing what you write at the time, then those are some really powerful books to be writing, to be reading while you write. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I read some other books as mm-hmm. well, but mm-hmm. yeah, those were definitely, some of the stronger mm-hmm. influencers because those types of writers, they get into your head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they allow you to, it's about the storytelling. And people say, the Bible. But, those are some good stories.
Yes, if you look at the Bible as a literary work, absolutely. Right. There are quite a lot of very intriguing things and lots of plot twists.
Right.
Yeah.
Plot twist is definitely the operative term.
Yes, yes. So you're also a songwriter and a music composer as well, is that correct?
Yes, I am.
Hmm. Very, very interesting. What kind of things do you compose music for? Do you have albums or do you do musical scores?
I have albums and I do musical scores.
Oh,
I've done scoring for some indie film. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of songwriting for other songwriters for them to put out on their albums. I also put out my own albums mm-hmm. as well.
Wow.
And I perform, you know, live in the city a lot as well. Primarily, however, I actually songwrite for other songwriters, or I songwrite for production companies.
Oh, that is fabulous.
Right, right. I like to, as much as I love performing, which I do all the time, I feel that my strength lies in my songwriting as much as it lies in my regular writing. So
that makes a lot of sense to me. It seems like you're very gifted with words and very, you know how to use them. So what we will do for my listeners, just so that everybody knows, we will put all of Lachie's social media stuff and her website and maybe even a link or two to some videos and things in the description of this episode so that listeners can follow her very fascinating work, because I think you're going to be very pleased at the world that the worlds that this woman is capable of creating. And now you have a lot of stuff going on, but I have one last question for you. We're very curious to know if once this book has been released, if you have anything else in the works for the future yet, if you know what your next project is going to be.
My next project, what will my next project be? Actually, I am currently writing several more novels.
Oh my. Wow.
I'm actually writing several more novels right now because it was funny. So when I finished writing this book, I started looking for publishers and I was having a hard time, and I said, if I find a publisher, as soon as I find a publisher, I'm going to start writing my next book. And it was funny because as soon as I said that, I found a publisher.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, you know what? Well,
it was meant to be.
So I started writing my next book. And so I actually have three more novels in the works because, as I told you earlier, I have tons of worlds in my head. I'm also writing a memoir of one of my greatest heroines.
And oh, wow. It's the memoir of a fictional person.
No, it's a memoir of a real person.
Oh, when you said one of your... When you said it was one of your greatest heroines, I thought maybe it was a character you had invented.
That's actually a really cool idea. So I might do that, and I might come back over here and tell you...
Definitely.
Thank you for that.
Yes. Hey, I'm stating it for the record. Feel free to use the idea as long as you come back and give me the scoop on the book when you're done. Oh my goodness. Fabulous. So M. Lachie, everyone, you have to check out her book, The Ivory Staff, coming out October 23rd. And I will put all of the links below so that you guys can check out everything that she has to offer. And believe me, she has some great stuff to offer. Thank you so much, Lachie.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. Take care. Okay, everyone, that is our show. And remember, check out M. Lachie's new book, The Ivory Staff. It is just amazing. You're going to love everything about her. And don't forget to come on back next time because we have some really good stuff coming up. I've got some big surprises I think you guys are going to love. So I will see you next time. And remember, if you're looking for advice on health, wealth, positivity, abundant giving, and authentic living, all you need to do is consult the sage and check out my website at consultthesage.com for lots more cool stuff. Take care, everyone. Bye.